Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again and welcome into Crew Call, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the cars and trucks go around the tracks. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time winning and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. Awesome weekend of racing.
Yeah, wild stuff at Daytona, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a great truck race.
Had a great truck race up in Milwaukee, no doubt about it. So really, really good stuff going on in the NASCAR world, and really, really good stuff going on. We've talked a lot about this, but the continued development, the continued RFK advancement. This is a team that appears to be on eight really, really good cylinders going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely are. They definitely are, and you know they're the flagship for Ford right now. I feel like they're leading the way for the Ford camp, and you know. We feel like with the aero changes that happened in 23, the Fords ended up on a lower downforce, lower drag side of the equation, and I expected them to be strong at Daytona, and they were.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just think that as I've listened to the second half of this year, you've spent a lot of time with Brad Keselowski, but boy, I am telling you, we are seeing his hand not only behind the scenes but on the scenes. You know, he even talked about this. He could have gone down into turn number three and maybe tried to force the issue. But boy, he is just masterful at owning this team as well.
There wasn't an opportunity for Brad to make a move that would have won the race for him.
Right.
If you go back and look at the race and looking deeper, understanding where it is, the opportunity Brad had to win the race was early, and he almost cleared Kevin Harvick and tried to pinch down in front of him and didn't quite get there. Kevin didn't have him cleared. But past that, the run that he got, like Eric had some momentum coming to him off of turn two on the last lap.
Right.
If Brad takes that momentum push and goes too wide, the two RFK cars finish in the back half of the top 10.
Right.
Because the guys with momentum are going to split them and they're just going to end up in the sucker hole. So he understands that.
That's the thing.
By the time the one run that I think had an opportunity to help Brad pass Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott had backed up to Alex Bowman and got a push in the middle of three and four. But instead of transferring that, which I don't expect Chase to do, Chase put Kevin Harvick three wide. And when he did that, he killed all three lanes. The finishing, you could have thrown the checker at that point exiting turn four. It was over. It was over for the win. And a great accomplishment and a 1-2 finish for RFK. Something they've got to really hang their hat on.
Nice stuff. The highlight films of the race, a couple of big crashes.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney down in turn number four and Ryan Preece. What as a crew chief, when you see that, when you see it, what does it bring to mind to you? What do you go back to the shop with memories of those cars doing what they did?
Yeah, I think Ryan Preece's accident was a spectacular wreck, and I'm glad to hear he's fine. I expected him to be all right. Now, nothing like threatening.
Sure.
You know, just being tossed around that many times, you know, but you never saw the car have a sudden deceleration. It kind of continued to roll and hit and dissipate energy over a long duration there. A lot of spinning, head probably banging around in the headrest. He might think about tightening up his headrest a little bit more now. but in these cars, they have braces up over your legs under the dash bars with foam on them. You know, it's such a cocoon for these drivers that the safety advancements we've gone through the last 20 years, phenomenal. And that was spectacular. And my wife cringed at it. I'm like, that one doesn't bother me. The Blaney wreck made me swallow my tongue.
Yeah.
Just that's 22 and a half years ago. We saw the same thing kill Dale Earnhardt.
Right. Absolutely.
And it just speaks for where we've gotten to the safer barrier and how much deflection we saw in the safer barrier.
That thing was way on both ends of it. Yeah.
But that's what it's supposed to do.
Exactly.
That's what it's supposed to do. And the updates they did in the front clip, did a segment with Dr. John Padalak at NASCAR on what they did coming into Atlanta. And I listened to Joey Logano on his behind the wheel segment on Sirius, talked about all of those kind of reliefs they put in it. The clips pushed back. Everything did what Dr. John Padalak showed us in the crash footage that they accomplished.
Mm.
The front bumper collapsed, the front clip collapsed, the motor pushed back slightly as far as they felt comfortable doing. It did what it's supposed to do to try to absorb that energy. And the Hans device, the helmet, the surround.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did a good thing. I texted with Blaney a little bit, said he's sore, but cognitively, no yeah. challenges at all. He's got the yeah, bruises got up the, here, but yeah. that'll all heal pretty easily. He's ready to go to Darling.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, wild stuff, that's for sure. And it's just a reminder that it's an evolving process. Kyle Petty on the NBC on NASCAR podcast. I always enjoy listening to that podcast. And Kyle really does such a good job. And Kyle just says, we sometimes I think we get numb to the fact that we are asking guys to go 200 miles per hour in race cars and that there still is high speed danger involved in this sport. And sometimes we get a reminder like we did on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Letart and a piece that we did. And he said the SMT data that at the point of impact, Blaney's car was still doing 183 miles an hour.
Jeez. Man.
Just to put it in perspective. Wow. So it's a sudden impact. And in it, we've softened it up, but you got to keep in mind that that directional change happened in 5 feet now.
Yeah.
Not a foot and a half or two, but it's still a pretty yeah. sudden deceleration.
Yeah. Sport is fast. There's a lot happening in a big hurry.
But it's exciting.
Yes,
it's exciting.
Is.
And we saw three wide racing.
Oh my gosh, the racing was insane.
Yeah, we saw a lot of stuff. This place got wider than I didn't think Daytona with this car could get three wide. And we saw it for 20 laps, it seemed like.
You know what our conversations are like on the Q channel when yeah. we go to break. Like the first half of that race, every time. Our producer hates to go to break because you're like waiting for it to happen. We get to the Q channel and we're like, I can't believe they haven't wadded them up yet. I can't believe it's like break after break. It's amazing.
There was a wreck every lap.
Yeah.
These guys are just so talented that they recovered
from
it.
Amazing how talented they are. Really, truly amazing. We've got a twin spin for you here today on the program. We're going to talk to Dave Ellens from up at Legacy Motor Club. He's the defending winner of the Southern 500 yep. with Eric Jones. And we're going to talk to Robert Booty Barker a little bit later on from 2311 Racing. They worked themselves into the playoff after a strong finish of the season. Really good finish for Bubba and Booty.
I feel like the last 4 to 6 weeks, they've done what they needed to do with the pressure on them, which is a great kind of build into the playoffs. They've had a little preparation for the playoffs and the chase to get into it.
Yep. They've had the heat on them for a while and they've performed very, very well. So when we come back, Dave Ellens joins us from Legacy Motor Club. Stay with us.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, let's go right to the Zoom call. Joining us from up at Legacy Motor Club, Dave Ellens joins us, crew chief for Eric Jones. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good to catch up with you, that is for sure. And I cannot imagine, crew chief for Eric Jones, and with your success there, you got to be looking forward to this weekend at Darlington. Pretty neat moment there last year, and it has to be one you guys have had circled on your calendar.
Yeah, definitely. Darlington is a track we look forward to going to with Eric driving. He's done a great job there. Unfortunately, we had an issue with the wheel earlier in the spring that kind of kept us from getting up there and having a good finish. But he's just so good there. You know, it's easy to find a setup that works for him and then kind of fine tune it. So hopefully we can repeat last year. You know, if not, it'd be good for us just to go run strong and improve upon what we've been doing the last couple months.
Yeah, the win last year, I was digging back through it because I had memory of it, but I had to dig through a little bit of the notes of it. Strong call by you. Stayed out on a green flag cycle, waited for the caution, cycled yourself forward. You guys were really strong. And then your pit crew throwed out a 10-second pit stop on a last stop. I thought a team execution at a place that really takes all facets, right? You've got 12 sets of tires. for the race this weekend. And I feel like you'll use 9 or 10 of them without a caution coming, right?
Yeah, for sure. You're going to use up all the tires. You can use the pit crew up, you know, and honestly, that last stop was money for us last year, but they had the fastest average all night long. So, you know, that kept us in every run, you know, and every couple spots you can gain with your pit crew, that makes it easier on the driver, makes it easier to set these cars up. They're extremely sensitive to traffic, you know, I think even more so than they were in the past, especially at a place like Darlington. So those guys keeping our track position and doing it all night long is what it's all about. So hopefully we can repeat that performance on pit road. Our guys have been getting better every week. We had a good week last week with them, and look forward to the challenge ahead with them. And then also, you know, it's just a challenge to keep up with the setup on the car throughout all those stops. So you throw an adjustment in on those guys because you have to make it just because the track's changing so much, and it becomes a challenge. And it truly is a team race at Darlington. And I think that makes it, you know, a special one to win because everybody has to do their job in order to get the victory lane there.
Yeah, definitely a crown jewel race. And you talk about, you know, traffic sensitivity and pieces like that. The place seems like right up against the wall in 1 and 2, they got that grip, you know, the patch up there that kind of lost some grip. Seemed like that's kind of aging its way back in. 3 and 4 seems like the wall, but some guys can wrap around the bottom. How do you find your way to tune towards finding places to pass cars?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely got to make it work on the bottom down there in 3 and 4. That's about the only way to do it, I feel. You know, get a good run off of 4 and make sure you have position on the guy getting into 1. So they either have to... they have to back out, you know, and that's the whole name of the game. And that's getting your balance right between 1 and 2 compared to 3 and 4 is difficult. But then you also got to make 3 and 4 work at the bottom versus the top. It's definitely easy to get it to roll around the top and get some speed there. But that becomes really difficult in traffic when those guys take your line away. So just making it turn on the bottom is going to be a challenge for us. Making sure we keep our entry secure enough so we can just decide what lane we want to go to as well down in 3 and 4 is going to be a challenge for us.
Dave, you talk about all of these things you need to do, and you get one set of tires and 20 minutes of practice. Okay, so this to me seems like one you better load off the truck pretty close, but how do you approach that practice session?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have to be good off the truck, like you're saying. It's very difficult to make bad race cars good in a weekend right now with 20 minutes. So, you know, we have to unload with a good car that we can make a little bit better. You're not going to take it from 15th to 1st in a 20-minute practice session. But if we unload, you know, in the top 5, you know, a few adjustments away from, you know, getting to a first place car. So the practice session is going to be about fine-tuning and, you know, making sure we get the little nuances that Eric is looking for correct. And all our work into the actual setup is being done during the week on the sim sessions and in our sim tools, and trying to make sure we use what we did last year, what we did in the spring, and trying to build a little bit better product than what we had at those two races.
That notebook and experience of success there has to help a ton in the week prep coming up to it. When you get to there, how do you deal with, we can see, 2 seconds of lap time change within the 20-minute session, just with cycles on tires. How do you make changes and actually assess whether a change is in the right direction when you've got so much tire lap time degradation?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a challenge at a high fall off place like that. You know, we know what we feel the pace should slow down to. We have good information from the same tire in the spring. So we'll look at that compared to what we're expecting. You know, obviously, you're going to pick a few of the guys that you expect to be good there. Denny Hamlin's always good there. So you'll be watching his lap times, you know, watching where he's moving around and throttle application. You know, just even you can even look at his steering wheel angle and kind of get a sense for how free or tight he is. And, you know, using those guys as a comparison to where we're at speed-wise and handling-wise is probably the biggest way we get through making a change and understanding if it's better. But at the same point, you know, it's really a place where if Eric gets the feel right, you know, the lap time is going to come to him. So at the same time, we're looking at all these characteristics of the other guys, you know, we're going to be going off of Eric's opinion because he has a good sense of what he needs there, and we'll let him steer the ship there.
Dave, beyond Darlington and really kind of big picture looking at this, I Googled your name and I saw Dave is hired by Richard Petty Motorsports. And I'm like, my gosh, that seems like forever ago. Well, Richard Petty Motorsports, Petty GMS, Legacy Motor Club, Chevy, going to Toyota, all of the change you've dealt with, how have you managed all of the change and keeping your guys, keeping your team focused in a good direction?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a huge challenge. You know, it seems like forever ago, you know, driving up to Welcome to go to Richard Petty Motorsports. I couldn't imagine all these changes that we've done since then. It's definitely been a huge challenge. You know, I think we've had our highs and lows. You know, the beginning of this year was a lot to keep up with for us, and we kind of lost our way a little bit. You know, it's hard to keep guys motivated through change. And I think, you know, what we've been able to do is come back to running good at different times and having success to keep those guys, you know, focused on, we can do this no matter what our name is, or, you know, what organization we're called or manufacturer we're going to have, or whatever the news cycle is for, you know, that month. It seems like, you know, the focus we have is making that 43 car run good. You know, and for the most part, we've been capable of doing that despite any of the other issues we've had. Those guys have worked extremely hard down there to make things better when, you know, they didn't have all the options that they needed to make the success, and they've done it. So that kind of fuels them and excites them and keeps them motivated to continue on and keep proving to themselves that they can do it despite anything else going on.
Yeah, your run from the summer break in Nashville on, back on track to where I expect, you know, the performance you guys put together last year, it's been good. A couple road courses have kind of, you know, dampened that a little bit here recently, but that's road course racing. As you look forward you've had change, I mean, constant change. As you look forward to the off season, have you start to put together, you know, what it entails to make the manufacturer swap? And it's more than body panels, right?
Yeah, for sure. We've started looking at some of those items, you know, and the engine will, you know, there's a lot of things that have to change because that'll be a completely new system for us. Oil lines and, you know, electrical wires, all that stuff is specific to the engine manufacturer. So there'll be a lot of changes in our systems in the off season. You know, some of that stuff is already working towards getting correct. You know, I haven't got too much into that stuff just because we've been focused on this year. You know, as we get closer to the end of the year, we'll focus on that more. But there is going to be a lot of work on that side of things. And besides just the physical components that we have to change to accept the new manufacturer, the simulation side and the engineering side is going to be a whole chunk of things that we hadn't really even got into yet. We have a lot of tools, databases, information storage, just a lot of things that our guys use day in and day out. And we've got to learn all new tools. There's a lot of people that work for this company that have been with Chevrolet for years, and you know a Chevrolet type tool and how they do things. So the Toyota stuff is all going to be new to us, and it's going to be a steep learning curve that's going to have to be done in a very short order in the off season. And that's probably one of our bigger challenges.
How do you compare this off season to the transition to the next gen car? Is it going to be less work, more work? How do you see that playing out?
I think it's going to be more work for us, honestly. You know, the transition into the next gen car was a huge challenge, you know, and there was a lot of man hours to build parts and pieces, you know, but we only had, I think, four cars when we went to Daytona on the next gen car. So there's only so much work you can do, you know, and the tool sets are stuff that we already knew and already had in place. You know, you're not revamping every aspect of what you do from the engineering side. So I think this is going to be a bigger challenge than we had back then. Obviously, that was a huge challenge. And the other part of that was a huge challenge for everybody at the same time. You know, so you're all doing it at the same time. You know, this one, we're putting this challenge on ourselves, and other people are not doing this. So we have to overcome that challenge and get to their performance level at the same time.
Final question for you here. You are a Clemson Tiger. My co-host is a Clemson Tiger as well. You guys ever get a chance to banter about football? Todd gets to go to games with his gig now. Do you guys have any friendly football stories that you share between each other?
I hadn't gotten into the football stuff too much with him. He does have more options to go to the game, so I'll have to catch up with him at a game at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Once the season's over, we'll see where that goes.
That's right.
Yeah. No, it's a great to see Clemson doing well, and Dave, you've done a phenomenal job with all the change that's been thrown at you, and I admire the change. I mean, you guys recovered mid-season. Which is tough to do with this car. It's not like the old days where we could just work on aero stuff, or you've got the same pieces. You continue to work on it. I think the challenge you've got ahead of you, I think you're up for it. I think it's going to be awesome to see what you guys can do with this, with the 10 races you've got left to build momentum into the off season, and then see how you come out next year.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You got it. Hey, Dave, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There we go. Dave Allen's joining us from up at Legacy Motor Club. Stay with us when we come back. Robert Booty Barker joins us. He joins us next.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and let's go right back to it. We just talked to Dave Ellens, who is working through 10 races to build to the future. Let's go to a guy that's working on 10 races to race for a championship. Booty Barker, crew chief for Bubba Wallace at 2311, joins us. Hello, Booty. How are you?
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. The build-up to the playoffs, the four races, your margin is this. The three races, your margin is this. You have to feel a little bit like you've been playoff racing for the last month and a half. Is that probably accurate?
Very accurate. I don't know where it was. It was probably post Atlanta. I don't know how far Atlanta was, but Atlanta, we were running, I think, 10th or 11th, and then we got wrecked. And then they ran like 30 laps of caution for the rain. You remember that? And so that put us in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And after that, we were hyper focused, I guess, on, to your point, like a playoff run, mm-hmm. all that time.
So it's been impressive. I think I love the maturity that I've seen out of your program in the move forward. It being in that playoff, the bubble cut, and just every week getting what you can, not trying to get too much, but getting what you can, taking what you can take out of your race car. Steve and I were talking about it at Watkins Glen, place that everybody talked about not being a strength for you guys. Ran in the top 10, finished 12th. I think got caught by a caution on a cycle there, but a solid run and putting things together. And it's great to hear not only you, but your driver with the comments about the things he can work on and having a focus on, okay, I need to do these seven things better. I'm working on getting them to five. It's just some of those input. You got to love the maturity of how you're helping Bubba grow.
Well, we all, how can I say this? Everybody was asking me, what are you doing? And what are you saying? And all this stuff. I'll be honest. It was just, though, I think all of us were, the best way I could say it was all of us were serious. He was serious. He was taking things seriously. All of us were, too. We weren't. Some people, though, I don't know that could work for. I think that might add more pressure, but the pressure was there. Acting like it wasn't there and trying to work around it wasn't what we did, you know. And Bubba, and we all sat down and was like, "Hey, this is real," and you know. So we just acknowledged it, got serious about it, and said we were going to get do all we could. And we all stepped up. He did, but he did wonderful. To your point of Watkins Glen too, would have been even better. We did. You're right. We got caught by the caution. Because we had passed the nine, and then the nine run out behind us. So that would have, I would have loved that buffer. If we could have finished seventh or eighth, that would have gave us, what, four or five more points. That would have almost locked us in points-wise at Daytona. So it's just funny, those little things that make a big difference.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You look at the course of a season and how that goes. I want to work a little bit deeper on the driver element of this. I've been covering Bubba Wallace since he was running Bandoleros and Legends cars. And he is emotional. He is passionate. He is driven. He is all of these things. But the last 2 weeks, I've heard things from him. Watkins Glen, he talked about taking seven weaknesses and turning them into two. Daytona, he talked after the race about controlling what he can control and try not to worry about anything. You talked about him being serious, but have you seen that continued evolution and development in Bubba as a driver and as a young man, actually?
Sure, but how can I say it? I don't know how long Bubba and I've been together now. We always have those. We've had these aspirations,
yeah.
And we've had it's just been a journey and a evolution and just a lot of things had to come together. And I mean, I don't know how to articulate it well. It's always been in him, but everything's kind of got to be right. You got to have your team right. You got to have your support right. I think it was last year, everything blends together. We had everybody knows that we had a ton of trouble on pit road. Mm-hmm. We kept having loose wheels. So we were running well, but we, all of that. So all of that kind of had to work itself out. You know, we had to get all the elements of our team right. And at the same time, Bubba was and continually is developing right along with, you know, but that's not saying I don't want to twist things here. We made the playoffs. Okay. But we still have a long way to go. We have a long way to go, and we know it. But the main thing is, we got a shot. We do have a shot.
Yeah, if you look at this, you've survived the first playoff cut, right? that basically right. The run that you've had the last month got you through what that is. Now you go to Darlington. You got a points deficit to the field. How do you approach Darlington in this round, the first round? That's the next step, right? Is what do we do at Darlington, and what do we do through this round of 16?
I'd say approach it the same way we've been doing. The only thing I would say is you noticed we finished 12th, 11th, all in those ranges. Got stage points, and towards the end, that less we have faded, but it's a little different. We didn't take any big chances per se. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we didn't, but I'm just saying. So I'd say the only thing we need to do, and I think we will, is do everything the same, except we're going to probably be a little more aggressive on the end of these races to get the finish. You know, we need to finish a little better because you're going against the better competition. It's this first round. This first round may be, I think, about running consistent, mm-hmm. not necessarily. So let's just say if we don't do anything different than we did these last 5 weeks or whatever it is, just complete the races a wee bit better, we've got a really good shot to transfer. Now, when you get into the next rounds, business got to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. I always call this a base hit round that you just. You don't need to hit home runs. You don't need to win races. You just got to go finish races and execute, and you'll get yourself through, because of 16, you'll have four that won't. It just as the mistakes go. You talked about the challenges last year on pit road. The one that comes to my mind, and I got to be there in the MRM booth, but first Kansas, your teammate won a race. I thought you were the best car. Kurt dominated, but you guys made up for spots that you lost on pit road all day long and still came out with a top 10 finish. I think last stop, you may have had a tail end penalty or something and drove back, but it was phenomenal how you ran there. You won there in the playoff race with the 45 number on your car, but that's got to almost excite you and take some of the pressure off Darlington, knowing you've got a place that you've got a lot of potential to have to score a lot of points coming up second race.
Yeah, I would say if you was just keeping it real, you looking at the next three races, Darlington this year, we finished fifth. And we had some problems on pit road. Different deal there. We were down a man, but mm-hmm. finished fifth, qualified second. So that's Darlington. And then Kansas, to your point, you just emphasized that. And Bristol, we were doing well as last year as well. But we had, remember at the end of the year last year, a lot of people, including us, had a lot of steering rack issues.
Yes.
Remember the seals blowing and all that stuff? Helping to a lot of people. Why? I guess we were just going faster and putting a load and stuff. But anyway, we were good there too. So I would say there is no reason why we cannot be a factor at all three of these.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at it, you're right about this. One of the other the situation you find yourself in as well is that your teammate, Billy Scott and Tyler Reddick, they've been locked in for a little while. The dynamic, the team dynamic, the energy at the shop, I would think having both cars in the playoffs got to be a pretty cool setting, pretty cool scene up there for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's all we've talked about for I don't know how long. You know, we have our morning meetings every Tuesday. Is like Billy and I have to talk to the shop and tell about our weekend or whatever. And I mean, for this many weeks, we've been like, we got to get it done. You know, we got to see what we as an organization and as people, you know, here we go. You know, we're getting ready to go through the crucible. Let's see how we do. And I'm not saying we went out and took it. No, I'm not saying we went out and took it, but we did go out and executed and put pressure on people. We did put pressure on people. They had to catch us. You know, I know being under pressure is harder on people, you know. If you notice a lot of people, what you said, Todd, about you're going to have four people that are now we may do the same thing, but I'm just saying you said four people going to make mistakes. And I noticed in these last 5 weeks or whatever, people made mistakes.
Yes.
When that pressure got on them. So we were well aware of that, and we acknowledged that, like I said, we acknowledged the pressure, we acknowledged the situation, and we made it happen.
Yeah, it's impressive, and it is. It's almost like you've got a preseason for the playoffs, because you've had that experience, and it's great to know that your guys executed under it, and they don't really need to change what they're doing going forward. They just need to do what they've done for the last month, and that'll get you through the next round. Going off on a sidetrack here, and I just because it's come up in places, but you've got Denny Hamlin as an owner. You've also mm-hmm. got him as a guy you're racing against. How is that mm-hmm. interaction with Denny? It has to be awkward at times, isn't it? How does he separate the 2311 Denny and the JGR Denny? And do you see that separate at your shop?
Yes. We and JGR, as you know, are essentially teammates. It's six of us.
Yep.
We know what they are doing. They know what we're doing. So from that aspect, is clean. What he does is when he's on the racetrack, he's the 11 car. He's the 11 Denny. When during the week, during our competition meetings, whatever we need, whatever big picture things, he's 2311 Denny. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When he's in the race car, he cuts us no slack, and he races hard for his team. But before then, he's all in on what he can do to help us.
It's fascinating. It is. It's a unique and very interesting spot. That's for sure. Booty, when I look at you, yeah.
But look, if 2311 gets sponsorship and makes money, then we pay Gibbs money for their services. And then the better the 2311 runs, right, we share information with Gibbs back and forth. It's just a reciprocal thing of good, you know. So it's really not a, it's not a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it could almost be, to me, I'll almost... It's almost like a Jimmy Johnson owning Jeff Gordon's car at Hendrick, right? Or whatever. Or I don't know how. Or the Jeff owned Jimmy's car at Hendrick. You're one group. You're split into two pieces, but with the same common goal and a lot of shared entities. It's good to hear it. Just questions that people would ask is a perception from the outside. It's cool to hear the inside side.
Booty, your journey, you spent time, it's funny, Todd just mentioned Jeff Gordon and Hendrick Motorsports. You spent time at Hendrick Motorsports as an engineer, you jumped around, you disappeared for a while, now you find yourself right in the middle of the soup, right in the middle of all the conversations, cameras, people everywhere. Are you, you know, you enjoying the ride, you enjoying this seat where you're at right now, as far as being, I think every crew chief wants to be put me in coach. Well, you're in now. Are you enjoying this personally?
Yeah, it's great, but it's not. I mean, people don't realize we talk about the pressure to, you know, make the playoffs. Well, we as crew chiefs in whatever situation we have, you have pressure to keep a job. I've had pressure to make races. This type of pressure? This type of pressure is, okay, what do you want? What resource do you want to pluck from? This is the top of the pyramid. While this is hard, this is just a different style or different sort of pressure. There's other pressure that a lot of these guys all through pit road have, and you just don't see it. You don't talk about it. There are great guys. There are crew chiefs out there and people that are working on other teams that are just as qualified, just as smart, just as good. But it's just you know, the opportunity, the situation, you know, may not roll so well, you know, but so how I handle it is this isn't, I've been through a lot more pressure than this.
Yeah.
I love the perspective. Keeping it real with Booty Barker, that's for sure, because there's some guys dealing with bigger issues than a playoff run. There's a lot of people that wish they were dealing with a playoff run. That is for sure.
Yes.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Booty, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you. Appreciate the time and can't wait to see what you guys have at Darlington this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Me too. It was great talking to you, and I'm thankful that we're in it, though. I don't want everybody to think I'm making light of it. It was a big accomplishment. I'm really happy for our company and our people. It's a good deal. I'll take it.
Yeah.
As you should be.
Yes.
We'll see you in Darlington.
Thank you, Booty.
There you go. Robert Booty Barker from 2311 joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us, more in just a moment.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post here. And I love the final comments from Booty because there's 38 crew chiefs.
Yes.
16 of them are dealing with playoff pressure. That means 22 are dealing with a different kind of pressure and maybe not nearly as good a pressure.
Yes. Yeah, they're definitely the pressure he's under. I didn't think he wanted to state that, but the pressure he's under is that's one you yearn for.
You want
it. Like that's what you race for.
You sign
up
for.
Is to be there. I always talked about this and my sleep schedule. When we got to the playoffs, I was up at 3:30 in the morning. My mind just would shut off. Like it was, it was 5 hours of sleep a night. That's it. Because it's just, you're just going. And then you get to the end of the playoffs when you're finally done and you've done everything and you crash for about a week. But it's something you want. It's as a crew chief, as a competitor, you want that pressure. Now, the pressure he's talking about, if you're trying to perform to keep your job or to keep a team on track, that's not, this is the pressure you want.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that. So, pretty cool perspective there. Booty's a really interesting person. Very, very, he's a deep thinker and, cool to see what he's been able to do with Bubba in that whole 23-11 team.
It's really a good combination. Really been fun, that's for sure. All right, speaking of fun, I absolutely think that I love the way NASCAR starts the playoffs. Let's just roll in the Southern 500 for round number one. Driver, you better be ready. Mechanics at the shop, crew chief, everyone better be ready with the car. And pit crew, you better be ready as well. Everybody is going to get tested in race number one of round one of the playoffs.
Yep. As Dave Ellen said, you know, it is. It takes everybody to do it. And that's part of what's great about the playoffs is that this is a team sport. This isn't Bubba Wallace.
No.
This is, and Booty brought it up, right? Last year they had pit crew struggles. That first Kansas race, I thought Bubba was as good, if not better, than Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch dominated the race. But they kept setting themselves back and driving back full through.
He was
through.
Busy passing cars, not racing up
front. So it's a team effort. And I think this round is a great kickoff. You've got Darlington. We've got 12 sets of stickers. You're going to use most all of them. You're going to have to make calls on when you come. I mean, if you've got a lap on tires, you want to put a new set on.
Yeah.
So coming down, pit crew is going to be important. The calls, the strategies. The driver not wrecking the race car, running that close to the wall, not bending a toe link. 500 miles. This is a weird weekend because the Xfinity race is like super short. It's one you've got to execute your way all the way through it because it's, 147 laps or something?
Yeah, 200 miles,
It's really short. And then you get the Cup race, it's the Southern 500. Like, you've got one that you feel like you need more, and you got one that you wish it was less. It's just, but it's a great weekend of racing in the PD region.
I know. Love it. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to get down there. When you look at the 16 teams now running for the championship, as far as that goes, what jumps out to you as, you know, have you created your final four? What kind of jumps out? You've created your final four. Who's your final four?
I have. I think there's three that are pretty straightforward and obvious. I see Martin Truex Jr. becoming a two-time champion this year.
Yep.
I just think the run that they've been on since the win at Dover, they've just continued that way. Similar path to them is Denny Hamlin, the 11 team. They've not had the wins that the 19 car has, but if you look at finishes and average finish, they're like Siamese twins. They're going forward. And I think, I really think the Toyotas have been strong. So I've got the 11 and the 19. I've got the 24. Right. Rudy Fugel and William Byron, they're past that 100 race mark. 5 wins this year, come back. They've come back into form. They kind of had a lull, you know, because they left Atlanta as a points leader and they lost 120 points to Martin Truex through the next 5 races, but or something like that. It was a handful of races. They've gotten back into form. I feel like they're back there. I put them in. And then, so I've got the big three and then one. And I really wanted to put Chris Buescher here. I love the momentum that RFK has had. I don't think the round of 8 sets up for Fords with the aero challenges they have.
Right,
because you've got Las Vegas, which we go there in September, and it's 90 degrees there about every time. Right. You need all the aero grip you can get there. And then we go to Homestead, wore out racetrack. Yeah. And I think those two and Martinsville, I hate to lay it on one race, and I feel like those that's a deficiency for the RFK. For the Ford camp.
Right.
So I took him out and I put Kyle Larson in.
Yeah, I have the same. I have that four. I have. I'm the same way. I have the William Byron, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin. Denny concerns me though because we still are having pit road problems.
Yeah,
I mean it's just yeah. We're still. I mean, I Denny, and I'm kind of with you. I think a Ford. I think can Ford get a car in? But you're right. That round is really tricky, and I have Larson in as well.
I started with Buescher in. And then I took my 16 teams and I went through each
race and round.
Each race and round and said, who am I eliminating?
Yeah. And when you
and I couldn't get past the group of eight, I couldn't get a Ford through that round. I hope they do.
Well, exactly.
I hope they do. If anybody can, the RFK group has been leading the banner there. So they would be the one. And the other one that I would throw out there, Kyle Busch could be a wild card.
You
can't count him out.
My God, you cannot.
They've got three wins, three different racetracks where they win.
Yeah.
Fontana, Talladega, and a short track someplace.
Yeah. Where did he?
Or a road course. I don't know. Anyway.
He's
won on. It's not a short track. They've been complaining about the short track.
If you're counting Kyle Busch out, you're foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean,
two-time champion and 60 some wins.
Yeah, I mean, you're just crazy.
It's, so I won't say that I've got it, but I feel like there's three cars that are pretty solid.
But boy, but think about Martinsville last year when we had Christopher Bell win the race and Ross Chastain did what he did. That's the beauty of it.
Yes.
Todd and Steve sitting here picking our top four. We're going to run the races.
Yeah,
and we'll see if we're right. We'll see if we're close. We'll see if we're out to lunch.
I'll share it. I had Booty out first round, but he makes a good argument of making it through.
He makes some great arguments about Darlington and Bristol to me in that first round.
And Kansas is really strong for him, too.
We knew Kansas. He was good.
Yes.
But he makes good arguments about the other two, and you're right. This first round is a don't shoot yourself in the foot.
It is. The biggest thing is he's got 2,000 points.
Right.
He's at a points deficit.
But they've spent the last 5 weeks not shooting themselves in the point and making up points around him.
Yeah.
But
so it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see him making it and the 45 not.
Yep.
Like
Yeah.
The 45 has had speed, but not execution.
Right.
To the point of four teams will have failures. Who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be?
Tune in and watch the next 3 weeks.
Exactly. And it all kicks off this weekend with the Cookout Southern 500. Motor Racing Network going to be busy 12:30 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. We have Cup Series practice and qualifying. 3:00. The Sports Clip Haircuts, VFW Help a Hero 200 for the Xfinity Series. Todd's right. This one, man, you got to be up on the wheel and going for this one, because if you're not, it's going to be checkered flag before you even know what hit you. And then Sunday, 5:00 Eastern time, the Cookout Southern 500 NASCAR Cup Series at Darlington. It is going to be awesome. Love Darlington. Love where this place is on the... I love where this track has been in the history of NASCAR. I love the fact that it was gone away and it's come back. It's come back stronger. When we came back from COVID, it's the track that brought us back, the throwback weekend, and now the kickoff, the playoffs. It's perfect that we're going to Darlington this weekend.
I love it. This is right.
This is right.
Southern 500 should be on Labor Day weekend. This
at
is
Darlington.
Right.
And the fact that we now kick off the playoffs is perfect.
There are things within our schedule that I love that we have rotated and we've made pivots about.
Yeah.
But there are some, there are pillars that support our sport. And this is one, this Southern 500 back this Labor Day weekend.
We rotated and pivoted right back to where we belong.
That's where it belongs.
Exactly. So it is going to be awesome. Motor Racing Network is there all weekend long. We appreciate Dave Ellens and Booty Barker joining us. More important, though, than all of that, thank you for joining us here this time on Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network.